Welcome to installment 323 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one commandment, prohibition number 291, the prohibition on a witness from after testifying in a case from acting as a judge. The Rambam tells us that regarding capital cases, that once a witness gives his testimony, he is forbidden from saying anything else about the case. And even should he be a great sage, he is not allowed to mention anything. To be together that he should be the witness and the judge and the teacher in this case. Rather, he should simply state his testimony and then silence himself. He should be quiet. And then let the judges themselves reach their own decision. The source for this is in the book of Numbers, chapter 35, verse 30, which states, "Ve'ed echad lo yaneh v'nefesh lamus," that one witness should not give his opinion in a case of putting someone to death. And as the Rambam explains in his legal code, when it says he should not say anything lamus, it doesn't mean that we do not listen to him should he give a convicting comment in addition to his testimony. But the Rambam says even should he give a favorable comment, he is still not allowed to give his comment. Why then, asks the Rambam, does the verse say he cannot give his opinion lamus in order to put him to death? The Rambam explains this comes to teach us that this general prohibition applies only to capital cases. However, in cases involving money, he is allowed to give his opinion. Therefore, we would understand the verse that one witness in a capital case may not give his opinion, meaning even one of the witnesses. This prohibition is repeated in a way in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, verse 6. Which states, "Lo yumas al pi eid echad." Literally, the translation is, "You cannot put someone to death according to the testimony of one witness." However, the Rambam evidently pointing out that the verse says, "Al pi eid echad," according to the mouth of one witness, is not speaking about the prohibition of one witness giving testimony by himself, which we will learn in Prohibition 288 from another verse. Rather, when the verse says one should not put someone to death, al pi eid echad, according to his mouth, means you should not put him to death by taking into consideration heiros eid, the teaching, the lesson, or the guidance which the witness gives. And therefore the verse says according to his mouth. In addition to his testimony, he gives other advice about how to judge the case. Such a thing is strictly forbidden for a witness to take part in. He must simply state his testimony and then not participate. In the Talmudic tractate Sanhedrin, where these laws are discussed, the Rambam quotes that it says there explicitly that this is regardless of whether he is giving favorable or negative testimony. And the Talmud also gives the reason that should he give his opinion, this will make him appear like an interested party, as if he is negeya be'edus, that he is not simply testifying because he saw something, but rather he has some ulterior motive in the case and has some desire about how it should turn out. Therefore, strictly the Torah forbids him from expressing any opinion whatsoever in order to avoid this appearance of impropriety. In his legal code, the Rambam concludes this law in the fifth chapter of the Laws of Eidus by saying that after explaining that the prohibition applies only in capital cases and not in monetary cases, that in monetary cases the witness is allowed to express his opinion or give his advice as to the legal outcome of the case. But nevertheless, says the Rambam, even in monetary cases, he is still not allowed to become one of the judges. As a bystander, he is allowed to express his opinion, just as the students who are listening to the judges also are allowed to express their opinion, and as we discussed earlier, are in many cases obligated to express their opinion. However, although he can express his opinion, he is not allowed to himself become a judge. As the Talmud phrases it, "Ein eid naseh dayan," that a witness is forbidden to become a judge in the very same case. What is the reason for this law? The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that since he himself saw the act take place, it will be something which became definite by him, and he will be unable to think of any favorable any mitigating factors which could go on the positive side of the defendant. He himself saw the act take place. So therefore, how could he even think of anything positive to contradict that fact? It has become definite since he has seen it. Hasidic philosophy explains that this is a basic difference between the power of sight and the power of hearing. When you hear about something, no matter how much detail you have heard about it, nevertheless, it never becomes 100% positive. As the saying goes, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Not only because the picture is worth 1,000 words, that 1,000 words will add up to the picture. Not even that. Even 1,000 words won't make up the picture. Because no matter how many words are told about a certain event, nevertheless, you've only heard about it. And should you hear an argument the other way around, perhaps it will convince you and change your mind. However, once you have seen something, it doesn't matter how much you could be convinced otherwise. Even though that intellectually you will be convinced that what you saw is not true, nevertheless, once you have seen it, it becomes part of you, and it's impossible that you should change your mind. And Chassidus explains, this is because the power of sight is rooted deeper in the soul of a person, whereas the power of hearing is a more external power. Therefore, the more external power is subject to change, whereas the more internal power, which is closer to the essence, will not change so easily. As it is also compared in Kabbalistic terms and the terms of Chassidus, that sight is compared to Chochmah, the wisdom, the flash of vision, of clarity, of sureness that a person has. Shmiya, or hearing, is compared to Bina. You understand something clear, and even though you have understood it clearly, nevertheless, it's only something you've heard about. Therefore, it never becomes 100% a part of you until it reaches the level of Chochmah as well, until it becomes real as if you have seen it. And Chassidus explains in addition that this is the faith that a Jew has in Hashem. This is the Emunah. Our faith in God is not predicated upon our understanding. Should it be something we only understand, which corresponds to hearing, as the word Shema, Shmiya, as Shema Yisrael, could be translated as to understand. This that we understand, or so to speak, we hear something, and this should be our belief in God, then it would always be possible that, God forbid, something should come, another argument would convince us that this that we understand is not true. If you understand it once this way, you could understand it another time a different way. However, once you have seen something, and your essence has appreciated and apprehended the belief in Hashem, that the soul itself has had a vision and a clear appreciation of Hashem, then it's impossible that this should ever change. Why? Because sight is something which is connected with the essence. And the belief that a Jew has in Hashem, the Emunah, is something which is part of the essence of a Jew. And as the Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita once explained on the discussion in Chumash and the Gemara and in Rashi, that at the times of the giving of the Torah, they saw the thunder, meaning something which was normally heard, or thunder. At the times of the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai, they actually saw it. And the Rebbe explained that, as Rashi says, that they saw what was normally heard. What is something we normally hear? What is the meaning of hearing? Things that we can relate to only in an external way. Things which we normally do not relate to in a close way, that we can barely understand, that we do not have clear by ourselves. What is this referring to? It's referring to the fact that the essence and being and existence of the world is godliness. We see the existence of the world as being a physical existence, independent of Hashem. However, the truth is that its entire existence is dependent on Hashem's word, which brought it into existence and continually creates it. As Alter Rebbe explains in Shara Yicha Ve'Emunah, that the existence of the world is not like a table, that a person builds a table and then can walk away from the table. Rather, the world is continually being created. That every moment Hashem has to continually create the world in order to keep it from reverting back to the nothingness it was before its creation. But this, that the essence of the world is godliness, is something that is normally only heard. It's something we can normally only appreciate, we can understand, we can have it explained to us, but it's not something we see. At the times of the giving of the Torah, they saw this which was normally heard, the godliness, the fact that the essence of the physical world is godliness is only something normally heard. But at the times when the Torah was given to Mount Sinai, they actually saw it. It became clear to their own eyes that the real existence of the world is not an independent physical existence, but the real existence of the world is the godliness, the Elokus, which created the world initially and keeps the world in existence constantly, every moment that the world continues to exist. And the truth is even deeper. Not only do we have an equal ability to understand both, that we have a physical existence and the spiritual existence which is internal and normally unseen, but as the Alter Rebbe explains again in Shaar Yichud V'Emunah, that the true essence of the thing is only the spiritual part. And should we be able to apprehend the spiritual, we would be totally unable to see the physical altogether. Should we apprehend the spiritual, then we have the essence, we have its whole existence within our grasp, and we would have no capability of even seeing the physical. Incidentally, the Chassidim tell the story of the Rebbe Rashab, that one time Bafa Brengen, in the late hours in the morning, after talking about this idea of the oneness of Hashem, and how the essence of the physical world in Hashem, he informed his Chassidim that he was going to show them the godliness which enlivens and keeps in existence a fish. There was fish on the table, and he told them he was going to... Chassidim tell over that he told him, told the Chassidim that he was going to show them the godliness in this fish. He was going to show them the Dvar Havaya, the godly spark in the fish. Later on, the night went on, and he didn't show them. The Chassidim asked, well, when is it going to happen? And the Rebbe Rashab said, well, he changed his mind. He decided he's not going to show them the Elokus in the fish. Evidently, they were incapable of being able to withstand such a tremendous revelation. In any case, we see from all this the idea of vision, that the idea of seeing something according to the Torah makes it a veritable truth by yourself. It's something which is impossible to contradict. And this therefore explains the law of the Talmud, that ein eid naseh dayan, that a witness is not allowed to become a judge. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. For more information or to sponsor this year, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.